Okay, this session of the series is going to focus on how we must adhere to being Spirit-led even when we get flack for it, when others question it, when they use Bible scriptures to denounce what we're doing. You will have that at times, where, for instance, you know, I've had it where there's a direct attack on Holy Spirit in terms of Him being a person. You know, those scriptures that will be used in such a way where you'll feel, what's that word? You'll feel almost like what you believe is wrong, okay? And my husband and I were looking up the word persecution today in the Greek, being persecuted, in terms of the context of what's going to happen. Okay, basically, we've got to be sure of our stance that we are going to be Spirit-led regardless of the flack that we receive, regardless of, you know, doctrinal positions, regardless of people perhaps dismissing or deconstructing what we do. We have to just let the Spirit, you know, we're talking about yield this week, and He gave me that beautiful acrostic poem, that yield is, you are the answer, Lord. The I is, I surrender to you. The E is that everything of mine is yours. And the D is dead to self and alive to Christ. That's what we're doing. And there will be, because we're in a, you will be in a public arena to some degree, you know, when you're online ministering. You'll either get a reputation because people will see that when you pray, they get healed. So then you'll become known to some degree. Or you might even be, you know, the more Holy Spirit teaches each one of us, the more we will declare what He says, and that will sometimes ruffle feathers. So what I'm really wanting to do for all of us, including myself, this is what Holy Spirit really wants to do, is to be assured that knowing Him as a person is not just acceptable, but is absolutely critical to us ministering properly. Because when we're under persecution to some degree about what we're saying, and you might get it in your church, you know, if you're attending a particular type of church, you might get it in your, group of friends, family, as well as strangers or people online. And we have to be able to stand. That's one part of the persecution. It's interesting, the word persecution has both the fleeing and the being pursued in the same word in the Greek. So both things are happening at the same time. Now, in the fleeing, that doesn't mean we flee and drop the ball or don't continue what we're doing, but we don't have to engage in that. I think the most important part that Holy Spirit wants us to get, that if we're going to, our ministry is based on being led by Him, addressing Him, referring to Him, deferring to Him, if that's the what we're about, then regardless of what other people may be saying about that, and using scripture as is always used by people who are offended by the truth, that we don't back down. Because what will happen is if we do, when we're ministering to somebody, we won't know what to do. He showed me last night, someone had, was attacking pretty strongly about their opinion, you know, and what they said was right, and outwardly, you know, quite harshly attacking. If we start doubting Holy Spirit, or doubting that He's a person, or doubting that we can speak to Him individually and have a relationship with Him, when we minister, we're going to be in the dark. And He showed me that if you don't, or if you're not going to be open to me, you are walking in the dark. It's like your eyes are closed and you're trying to find the wall or the light switch. We won't have it. So the caution I'm having, and the caution that I'm giving you, is don't fall for the enemy's attacks. If in any way that's happened, it may not have happened yet, it may already have happened, or it may happen in the future. Don't fall for his attacks that say, Holy, you know, you're glorifying Holy Spirit, or, you know, they're three in one and you can't separate them, and we're not separating them. We're just acknowledging who does what. And we're also yielding to the living God living in us. And that is an affront to the enemy. See, the enemy hates this because all the power that Holy Spirit gives to us and we have access to comes through him. And it is a death knell for the enemy when we relate to Holy Spirit directly. So without him, we're not going to know how to minister. And I know all of you know that to some degree, but it's just, he wants to emphasize it because there will be times when you are told that what you're doing is crazy. Okay, I mean, they said it to Jesus. They're going to say it to you and to me. And we have to be able to stand and not let that move us. Because when I have when an attack happens, and you are, and specifically about Holy Spirit, he's a very controversial topic. And people who don't know him, he gave me something that I am going to say online that is so extreme, it will cause great offense. And I'm not saying it to cause great offense, but I'm saying it because it needs to be public. What he said to me, any Christian who does not know Holy Spirit personally, as a person, relating to him as a person, cannot be trusted because they are not giving over to the Spirit of truth. They have the word and they call that truth on its own. But that without the Spirit is the letter, and the letter kills. It is not enough. It's only half of the picture. So just because they understand the word and they know how to, you know, or they understand it to a, you know, in an intellectual way, they think that that makes them in a better position to, you know, it's almost like they have a market on the truth. It's like the only one who has a market on the truth is the Spirit of truth. And if someone is a believer and does not yield to Holy Spirit, does not know him as a person, what they say and what comes out of their mouth is going to be colored by opinion, by doctrine, by teachings, by their own insecurities, not by him. We want to be those pure vessels of whether it makes sense to you know, other people's positions or not, whether it is acceptable in general. We want to be the ones who are yielding so much to him that when we minister to people, life comes out of us. That's what this is about. Not our opinions, not how good we look, not how clever our statements are, not even our results, quote unquote, but that life so is emanating from us. Now, this is a crucial thing for us in ministering online. We have to also look at that ourselves in that context. So if we're, say we've shut off from Holy Spirit for whatever reason, maybe we haven't had the healing that we're looking for ourselves. Maybe we've been really persecuted and we're starting to doubt. Maybe we're just worn down. You know, it could be a variety of reasons. And but just say we've shut down from him, and say someone contacts us and needs some kind of healing, whether it's emotional or spiritual or a physical. If we have closed him off to any degree and is not, are not allowing him to flow freely, we are going to be like the blind. And so he's telling us this too. It's not just, oh, all the other people who don't listen to me, you know, they're the bad guys. He's saying any Christian who does not know me personally, who is not engaging in me with me personally, will not know the truth. And that, I mean, that's quite a strong statement, but I'm not making it on my own back. He's saying it. And I can see the distinction with believers. Those that actually are not affronted by, that are, you know, their intellect is not offended by the fact that you can know him as a person, not just through the word or not just revelation, or, you know, he reveals himself, you know, like when he feels like it, not that you're actually interacting all the time. Holy Spirit showed me this, that those people that deny knowing him as a person, you know, as a, you know, individual, one-to-one, have not got the freedom and the clarity to be able to communicate with other Christians. Because although we are one spirit, in spirit, they don't know him. So it's like you can work with someone your whole life. You know, say you're in a job for 30 years, but you don't really know the guy who's next to you on the assembly line. That's kind of how it is with the Holy Spirit. And because the intellectual side of it, the intellectual faith of, I'm a thinking person and I can figure this out, and that becomes a substitute for Holy Spirit. I don't want to figure anything out anymore myself. Because if I'm ministering to somebody, I know nothing about that person, absolutely nothing. I don't know. All I might know is their name and their gender, maybe. And sometimes you don't even know that, because they can have a name that, you know, goes with either gender, and you might be on a chat, so you don't even know that. So you're very much in the dark, quote unquote, in terms of facts, in terms of information. It's not like they're coming to you as a doctor and giving you, you know, their history. Though they may do that. But often you don't know the person at all. You don't know what their needs are. You don't know what they've been going through. But Holy Spirit knows all of it. And if we don't yield to him because we're so arrogant as human beings that we think, I can figure this out because I've got the word, and the word says this or the word says that, we're going to miss the mark. And if the bigger part of it is, all of you here listening wouldn't even think like that. You know, we might have thought like that in the past, but we certainly don't. We know Holy Spirit. But what can happen, this is the caution he wants to give, what can happen is someone can come along and try to derail, because the enemy hates us knowing Holy Spirit. It's very bad for his campaign, yeah? So he will try to derail us from yielding to Holy Spirit and make it look like it's some kind of esoteric Mickey Mouse, I thought it up all myself reality. And unfortunately, it seems to be men are more affronted than women about this. Because women, you know, we experience emotions a lot more. We tend to have to yield even in our, you know, marriages or whatever. There's, you know, yielding is kind of part of our makeup, yeah? I'm not saying we all yield wonderfully or anything, and men don't. But it seems like men are the ones that attack, because they've cut themselves off a lot. They've been taught to cut themselves off from feelings. And interestingly enough, feelings, although they are disparaged all the time, you know, just as we've discussed earlier in the week, well, I have with some, they actually are our connector with him. Not feelings, you know, let them go on a rampage, but feelings, we sense him. We feel his presence. We'll even speak in that language. And that, of course, affronts people too. But what we've got to do is, if as ministers to people, we're ministers of reconciliation, whether we're, you know, ordained officially or not. And Holy Spirit is the one who chooses anyway. He's the one who designates who does what in the body. A lot of the body doesn't listen to him. So they make up their own rules. And they make up their own choices. Which is devastating to the body. Because if someone isn't really chosen by God to do something and they're doing it, they're doing it on their own. And they're going to usually cause a lot of damage. Not meaning to necessarily, but it's the result of not listening to Holy Spirit. So it's absolutely imperative that regardless of how much flack we're getting, one way or the other, that we just stick to Holy Spirit and say to him, you know, even with the flack, okay, Holy Spirit, explain this to me. You know how it says he will give us answers for our persecutors? And he will. What happens is when we get attacked because we are yielding to Holy Spirit, and we're literally getting attacked because we yield to Holy Spirit, can you see the insanity of it? By our brethren. Okay, that's what happens. And then we may pull back. What we need to do, if we're going to minister effectively, is we need to just go right back to him and say, Holy Spirit, how do I answer that? Reveal the truth about it. Because if we always go back to him, we're in the safety zone. And without him, we're not going to know how to help people. But with him, he's going to be the one flowing out of us helping that person. For example, I had someone the other day, and I didn't know them at all. I'd never heard of them before. They contacted me. you know, allegedly out of the blue. It's never out of the blue. It's always a God appointment. And I didn't know anything. And I had just recently been attacked by somebody about Holy Spirit. And I was a bit flustered. And I found myself not trusting him. This is what can happen, guys. No matter how deeply embedded with understanding him or connected with him we think we are, it can happen. So I wasn't trusting him. And I was just, I was typing things out that were all truth, but they were so detached. And I thought, this is crazy. And I said, Holy Spirit, take over. You know, I don't know what you want for this person. And as I let him take over, and it, you know, moment by moment, his, my yielding to him increased. I just kept deferring to him. And then he started prophesying. And the prophecy was, she said, oh, other people have spoken that over me. That, you know, it was all him again. It's like, and I was no longer hands in the dark looking for the light switch. We don't have to be like that. And if someone, I find it really amazing that the brethren, other people in the body will want to take that from you because they don't have it. And they think it's crazy. They've never experienced it. And see, so much of Christianity has been told that we're not to experience him. And, you know, experience is almost a dirty word. Feel him. What do you mean, feel him? I've got the word. And they stop there. It's very offensive to a lot of the body that you talk about experiencing him, feeling him, and not in that whacked out crazy way that some people act like idiots, which has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit at all, because he is not like that. He's a spirit of truth. He's not the spirit of tomfoolery. You know, it's just, that's not him at all. So the major emphasis that he wants to say is stay close to me. And I mean, we're one with him, but stay close to me in what you're asking and what you're hearing and what you're willing to yield. Because it is a choice, you know, just because we're one with the spirit. The entire body's one with the spirit, but do they operate like that? Do they walk like that? No. They mostly don't. They mostly don't even understand what that means. It's like, okay, oh good. All right, I'm one spirit with him. And they just carry on their day like they're in the world. I mean, you're one spirit with God Almighty. I mean, come on, let's wake up. That's better than any coffee cup. We've got to get a handle on that. And when we're ministering to people, we have to be able to minister that to them. But if we're off kilter, or if we're doubting our relationship with him, or if we're doubting, you know, what he does in our lives and for them, then they're not going to have that flow into them. They're not going to have that experience themselves. Because see, the amazing thing is when you're online and, you know, you're writing away on your keyboard, whatever it is that he's saying, and you're not even talking necessarily, it might just be a type Skype or a chat healing or whatever, but Holy Spirit is pouring into them. They know the authentic spirit. And they're obviously, if they come to you, they're wanting that. They're wanting freedom of some sort. They don't necessarily know that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to give it to them. Because he is the truth, and the truth will set you free. So since Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, he does set us free. He is the one who sets us free. There is no distinction between him, truth, the truth, and the spirit. He is the spirit of truth. So he is the one who sets us free. But if we want to just only focus on the word, as if it's separate from the spirit, we're not going to be set free. We're going to be in bondage. And that's a lot of believers have that experience of God. And it's no wonder they don't want to share him with the world. Why would you want to share with the world someone who puts you in bondage?
Why would you share?
Exactly. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's right. The splitting hairs issues. The reason I'm even bringing this up is because if you're online and you're doing ministry, like I said before, you will sometimes become known, not in, you know, fame and fortune, but you will become known, people become aware of you, which means the enemy is going to want to attack. And that doesn't mean we, you know, worry about it or are constantly vigilant or anything like that. It just means be aware. You know, we don't want to be ignorant of his devices. He will try to attack us and will try to derail the most important revelation that The Spirit of Truth, Holy Spirit, is a person, lives in us, and we can commune with Him at all times. Abiding presence 24/7. The enemy does not want that out there. That stops 99% of his games. The other 1% is just us saying yes or no. Okay, so it's a very powerful revelation. And we cannot separate him from the Word. We cannot separate him from truth. I mean, that is, you know, that is beyond a joke. But we will come against, not come against, we're not coming against them, but we will come up against people in the body that will try to derail our understanding and living in that truth. And that, you know, that happened, you know, all throughout the New Testament, and it's happened in many believers' lives since. So it's not as we're special in the sense that we're, oh no, I'm getting persecuted. It's like, yeah, well, that's par for the course. And we have to look at it like that. He's showing me, Holy Spirit's showing me that you need to just, it's almost like water off a duck's back. Yeah, yeah, of course that's going to happen. And not get caught in it, because otherwise it'll affect our ministering to people. You know, we have to stand on that place where we know that we know that we know Him. And no matter what anyone else says, we're not going to disengage from knowing Him just because it offends someone else or they don't know Him. There is a great distinction in the body between those that know Him as a person, and I know all of you would agree with me because you didn't know Him as a person and neither did I before, and those that do and those that don't. It's a completely different Christian life. One is filled with life and joy and peace and righteousness, even when you're having experiences and difficulties. And the other is living a half-life of hoping God's actually listening to you. And that is, you know, chalk and cheese, as they say in, you know, in Oz, or black and white. It is completely different life. And it's no wonder so many believers fall away. And I'm not saying fall away, they're not believers. They fall away in their hope. They fall away in wanting to be with Him. Because they're not being with Him. They're being with what they're taught about Him. And we want, as, you know, in ministering online, we want to make sure people know how to be with Him. So it's not just we want to, you know, get their dislocated shoulder healed. Although, of course, that's, you know, it's just assumed that's going to happen. We don't look at the healing as the epitome, as the top of the peak. That's not the top of the peak. That's just par for the course. Yep, of course, that we do that. But we want, as we're ministering, it's far greater to impart to them that Holy Spirit who lives in them is one with them, is a person, and they can relate and commune to Him with Him at any time. That He has a personality, a will. He knows them inside and out, and he's for them, not against them. And He's not separate from the Father, and He's not separate from Jesus. And when we speak to Him, we are speaking to the Father and Jesus. Just like when we speak to Jesus, we're speaking to the Father and the Holy Spirit. And when we speak to the Father, we're speaking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We're not separating them. And we will be accused of separating them because the focus is on Holy Spirit at a certain point so that you can learn who He is. And then you start to realize the oneness of you and Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there is no separation, but you do speak to each one individually because each one is a person. And we can't be afraid of that or feel that we're, scripturally unsound, because we will be accused of that. I just need to tell you that. I have been, and if I have been, and you're also doing the same, pursuing Holy Spirit, yielding to Him, communing with Him, getting to know Him, the same will happen to you. That's just how it works. So it's kind of like a caution, because when one of us in the body already experiences it, we can prepare the others in the body for that. And the most important part of this, you know how He always says, all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose? Well, that's what we hold to. And that, you know, what the enemy means for evil, God means for good. So, you know, if you're attacked about this, then you can just ask for God's goodness. And the attack, then, it doesn't get what it was intended purpose. It doesn't eventuate. So although, you know, it might initially start to derail some of what you've learned, it will not fulfill that. He will stop that. He will turn it into something beautiful, you know, the beauty for ashes. He will share some part of himself that you haven't known before. It will be amazing, because that's how Holy Spirit is, the grace of God. So all we do when we're ministering to these people, we don't, as always, you know, little model that he gave me quite a while back, and he said, don't just give them a healing, give them me. That's what he wants. He still wants that. And although we're online, that still happens, because there's no time and distance in the spirit. And whether other people in the body accept that or don't accept that, we have to see there is a dividing line. And it's sad, because we can't really relate to the people who don't, you know, look what Jesus did. What did he say to the disciples when he sent them out? He said, speak your peace upon a house. If it returns to you, if it stays there, enter in, sup with them, you know, speak with them, fellowship with them, preach the gospel. If it doesn't, if it returns to you, shake the dust off your feet. We have a hard time shaking the dust off our feet, because we feel like that's not being a nice Christian. But see, the enemy will use the nice Christian angle to keep us in a fight that isn't ours. And that's again where we go to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, do I pursue this? Do I stand up to this? Do I say anything or not? He will often tell you it's not worth the fight. And in ministering, our personal walk with him is completely entwined with our ministering. So if we're getting attacked on a personal level, it is okay to seek others in the body that know the truth that has been revealed to us, and to get support. There's nothing wrong with that, because it will affect how we minister to others. If we feel deflated or derailed or smacked around the ears, it will affect how we minister. I experienced that the other day. That at first, because I had just been hit probably, 12 times in a row, you get punch drunk, so to speak, spiritually. When the person came on that actually needed ministering, and I normally just go right into it, I couldn't even go right into it, because I was still reeling from the last punch. So we need to know that our personal lives, it's okay that our personal lives are affecting, not this, to the extent that we go ahead and let everything fall apart. I'm not saying that. But we have to acknowledge that our personal lives, whether it's because we're waiting for a healing, whether it's because, or, you know, believing for a healing or standing for one, or whether it's because we've just had an argument with our spouse, or whether it's because somebody in the body has, completely disparaged us publicly, or whether we've just lost a friend over a revelation, all that affects us. And we need to be honest with Holy Spirit with it and say, look, I feel really weak right now. I'm confused, I'm scared, and everything doesn't look right. And I need you to give me truth. I need you to reveal it to me. I need you to bring me back to that place of peace. So he doesn't want us to try to cut ourselves off, and say, oh, my personal life is separate from when I minister. No, it's not. Because the richness of your personal life and what you're learning and you're communing with him and your walk with him and whatever happens in your life is going to be able to actually enhance how you are in ministering. They're not separate places. People try to separate them. Ministry from personal life, they're not separate. And in fact, if you're doing online ministry, they're really not separate, because it's in your house all the time. And never know when someone's going to call you. Or message you or whatever, text you. I've got phone calls, I've got texts, I've got Skype, I've got chat healing, I've got emails. You never know. And some of them are emergencies, and you just, you drop dinner because the person wants to commit suicide. You are going to drop dinner. Sorry, honey, you're going to have to finish dinner. They want to kill themselves. It does get like that. And you have to, when you're in a situation like that, you need your family cooperating. And sometimes they don't at first. Sometimes it takes a while for them to be, quote unquote, on the same page with you. And that's okay. Everybody's learning. Your family's learning too. What matters? The amazing part is, if you're doing online ministry, because it is in your home and you need to set limits, and I definitely struggle with that, but you need to set limits so that if you're expected to go out at a certain time, that you stop whatever session you're having, or if, you know, that you need a couple hours in the morning but you don't have your computer on, where it's very, very difficult to say no when someone's crying out. So you've got to, you know, set those kinds of limits, but you've got to also realize that your quote-unquote personal life, see, where there is no separate personal life, and there is no separate ministry life. It's just life, because he's in it. Holy Spirit's in it. And, you know, I just want to declare, I just feel like, I'm, you know, to just declare online, Holy Spirit is a person to be known. That is what people are upset about. They don't like that. How dare you say that he is to be known? You know, you just have to know the truth. Well, how can I know the truth without knowing him? It doesn't even make sense, but it's such an affront to some in the body that we need to hold to that truth regardless and know that he's worth it, because we will be persecuted for it. There is no question. Just like, you know, Jesus kept saying to them, you look for me in the scriptures and I'm in front of you. They look for truth in the scriptures and he's in them. But they don't want to have anything to do with him in that way, because that, you know, it's almost like, oh, that's so undignified. I'll just look it up. What chapter and verse is it? You know, it's almost medical. You know, not experiential. Not from love. Why would God give us his very self to live in and indwell in us if we weren't to know him? When he says that's the most important thing. What is it? Lord, Lord, I did this, I did this, I did this. Look at all the wonderful works that I never knew you. Knowing is imperative. And we want to, you know, we want to impart that to other people. Not imparting in a, you know, in a weird, you know, ooh, I'm going to give this to you. Anointing. It's not from there. He's the anointing. I don't have to worry about how that happens. But in the sense that we want to make sure that they don't think it's us that's doing it, you know, like separate from them, it's because the Spirit is alive in us and we give him free rein. That's why anything happens properly. Yes, you can do it just by faith. Yes, you can do it through metaphysics. But we want to do it through the living God. And we want them to know the living God. You know, that's even more important than their healing, in terms of, if they've got a broken leg, I'm sorry, knowing the living God, you know, hierarchy is more important than the leg being healed. Although we want the leg healed, we're not even saying that that's not an option. Of course they need to be healed, but we are not going to put the healing above knowing him. This is the context that we do any ministry, is for them to know him as a living God living in them, that they relate to, that they can depend on, that they can go to at any time of day or night. They can share with, they can pour out their pain, because we won't always be there. And we're not meant to be. We're not meant to be a substitute for God. We're meant to be a light shining in the darkness so they can see where he is. And he's actually in them. They just haven't learned, if they're believers. I mean, most of the people you're going to be ministering to are going to be believers, or they wouldn't be coming to you. Like you were saying, Marie, that in Acts, all the apostles and disciples had only the Spirit, because it hadn't been written yet what they were doing. They were living it. And to just refer to the Word and make it, turn it into some kind of straitjacket that stops you from learning about God, I mean, that is the epitome of perversion, and that's what the enemy will do. Try to even pervert your understanding of the Word so the Word becomes a roadblock to you knowing the living God. When the Word's alive anyway, they're connected. Since when did the Word get disconnected from the Spirit? The Spirit wrote the Word. So it doesn't even make any sense, but that is how it is used. And what you've written, Jean, from 2 Corinthians 13:14, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. What a wonderful salutation. He's telling us to be intimate with Holy Spirit. That is a goal. That is our ideal. We're not to be separate. We're to be intimate. That's a blessing upon those people in Corinthians. And it's a blessing for us. I'm going to read that again. That is, I've read that before, but it's so apt to what we're saying now. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. Now, we all have learned about grace. And without grace, none of this works. The extravagant love of God who sent grace, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. I don't know how you can refute that one. How are you going to have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit without knowing Him personally? He is to be known personally. And the enemy is so terrified of us knowing Him personally, he will do anything to derail us, frighten us, make us think it's a wrong teaching. We'll have people actually outright accuse you of a wrong teaching. That's a wrong teaching. Your slant on it's wrong. And yet they don't even know Him. And that's why Holy Spirit showed me last week. I remember I was picking up a letter. Just happened to be picking up a letter. It was just a mundane thing I was doing, because you know how He is. He'll reveal Himself at any time, and He'll reveal the truth at any time. It doesn't mean you could be changing a baby's diaper. You know, it really doesn't matter. And He's not a respecter of locations and circumstances. And He all of a sudden said to me, believers who do not know Me as a person cannot be trusted. And not, He wasn't saying it as a judgment against them. He was saying it, don't reveal what you're knowing about Me. Don't share with them. You can't share with them because they speak another language. They're still in bondage. They won't understand what you mean. So it's pointless. You're just going to go around in circles and circles and circles and never get anywhere. And it's going to be a fight. So He was saying there's a separation between those who yield to Him and live their lives through Him and have intimate friendship with Him, and those that don't. It's a completely different scenario. It's like a child. Say one child is very close to their mother and one child's very distant. Will they not have completely two different perceptions, conversations, experiences? They won't even make sense. In fact, often, if one child is close to a parent and the other one isn't, they'll usually separate. Those two children will separate as adults because they won't understand each other at all. It's the same dynamic with Holy Spirit. If you don't know Him personally and intimately, people who do are going to sound crazy to you. They will not make sense, and you will be scrambling for looking up scriptures to prove yourself. And that's what's happened. So what we have to know, this is a protection, guys. This is Holy Spirit's protection on us. He's saying there is a absolute, extreme difference in believers. This is not making, we're not making an exclusive club, and we're not going, oh, you're not good enough. If someone wants to learn about Him, I will pour out everything I've got for them and let Him pour out everything He wants to. But if they are unteachable about it, I will not waste my time, because there are people that want to learn about Him and know Him. And we have to be the same way. I know it sounds harsh, but it really isn't. Because people get tired of living the half-Christian life. And one day they may come back to you and say, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Can you tell me about this experience? What do you mean Holy Spirit's a person? What do you mean I'm supposed to be intimate with Him? I don't even understand. That may happen. But if the person is going to be dogged about it and rigid, you cannot keep spending time with them, and you can't defend your position. That's what Holy Spirit's saying. Don't defend your position. You don't have to defend Me. Just be with Me and share your being with Me with others that want to be with Me. The question being is, why wouldn't you want to have an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit? And here, even in Scripture, it says to. It says that's a blessing from God. The grace of Jesus, the extravagant love of the Father, and the intimate friendship of Holy Spirit. Do you know when you even say those words, you can just feel the presence of God? You can just feel His presence on that. It's so real. How could we want anything less than that? You know, I just, it just makes me want to celebrate and dance him. That's how I feel when I think on that scripture. You know, think on these things, he says. Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is admirable. Think on these things. Those are some of the things to think on. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. The extravagant love of God. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. In Jesus' name. It's important for us to know that this is not, we're not an exclusive club. We're not saying, oh, we're the Spirit-led people and all the other ones are the run-of-the-mills. No, we're saying he's, because we want our lives to be about him and him alone, and we want to know him intimately in friendship, in union, in oneness, we are going to be given a different language of understanding, and the word is going to be so alive to us, it'll be like eating. It'll be nourishing and nurturing our very molecules, our cells. And if we want to share that with someone that doesn't know him, we are speaking a completely different language. And like you said, Jean, we're speaking a spirit language. And it will sound like Swahili to someone who only speaks English. So it's only going to cause more strife. They're not going to get what you mean. And we don't need to push that on them. We can pray for them that they will become open. I had that happen to me a little while back, and the person actually opened up. But it wasn't because I was pursuing them or pushing them or trying to share my revelation. It was simply Holy Spirit got a hold of them, and that's what I asked. I asked him to get a hold of them. It's his job. It's not my job. I'm not the Spirit of Truth. He lives in me, but I am not him. And he can flow out of me, but I am not him. And if they're a believer, they have him indwelling them. So we might as well ask the Spirit of Truth that indwells them to reveal himself to them. And then they can understand this language too. And there's never a desire for this to be an exclusive group or club. We are not doing that. We are ministering to the body of Christ. And sometimes, or online it's going to be mostly the body of Christ. In our daily lives, it could be anyone who's a believer or unbeliever. And we need to be, you know, he says, be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. We don't have to hammer anyone about, why aren't you led by the Spirit, you know? And we don't have to deny that we are. And if there's a misunderstanding between us and another believer because they don't live that way, we can give them scriptures that we know that will help. We can tell them of our experiences with him. We can refer them to resources that we know will help them develop that relationship. And then we let them be. We don't have to prove that what we have experienced and our walk with him is true. And it won't make any sense to them anyway until they experience it. It's like someone who's born again. You talk to someone who's born again and someone who's an unbeliever. Do they know what you're talking about? No. They will know if you talk simple terms about love, about God's forgiveness, about his desire to be one with them, all of that. They'll understand that. But they're not going to understand the experience until you are born again. You don't know what born again means. It's the same with someone who is yielded to Holy Spirit. Until you yield to Holy Spirit and know him as a person, it sounds like gobbledygook. And they will sound like gobbledygook to you. Because you've gone past that. It's like, that was first grade and I'm now in university. That doesn't make sense to me anymore. And it's not about a hierarchy. We're better than anyone else. No, we just want the truth. I'm going to pursue the truth with all my heart. What else is there to pursue? What is any value? Even when I was an unbeliever, my biggest thing was to know God. And it's still the truth. I want to know him completely. Well, if I don't know the Spirit of Truth, how in the world am I going to know God completely? It's not ever going to happen. So I think sometimes it's an arrogance on believers' part. Sometimes it's just ignorance. And sometimes it's just pride and stubbornness. But whatever it is, what we do in terms of ministering to people. We want to share that He is the Spirit of truth. He lives in them. They're one with Him. They can commune with Him. They're meant to have intimate friendship with Him. And He's the truth that sets them free. And hallelujah, He's an actual person. Can you imagine it? Truth is a person. I mean, that just blows my mind. Truth is a person. He's not a concept. He's not a thought. He's not an understanding. He's not a precept. He's a person. I mean, you cannot get closer than that. Truth is a person and He lives in me. I mean, hallelujah. How faithful is our Father? Yeah, the idea of when people are coming in opposition to you, of where you've come to in your understanding of who He is, in your relationship with Him, in the fact that you know, even if it's about healing, whatever it is, you're absolutely right, Marie. People will want to bring you back down because we live in heavenly places. That's such an insight. We live in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. That's where we live. We're seated with Him. So for us to then go back down to the natural or the human or however we want to, you know, whatever language we want to use to describe that, that is what people will do. People do it in human relations, don't they? Someone else is really happy. Some people can't stand that because they're not happy. So they will try to make them unhappy by doing something that is unkind. It's the same in the body, unfortunately. It shouldn't be that way. Those that have come to the understanding and experience of Holy Spirit being a person living in us and having incredible relationship with Him 24/7, other people who see that and see our joy should be rejoicing because we're all one body, but they don't at times. So what happens instead is exactly what you said, Marie. They want to pull you down because that makes them feel, oh, we're all on level ground now. Ha ha. We're not, no. We don't go that way. That's why He's saying there's a distinction between those that know Him as a person and those that don't. It is a huge line in the sand. And no one's saying they can't know Him as a person. That is not what we're speaking about here. We're saying every believer can. Not every believer will. It is a choice. And those people that we minister to, we want to give them that option. We want to show them that that's a reality that they can live, that Jesus Christ died for that oneness. Not just to clean them up. We want them to get that. And I think if you spoke, you know, when I speak to unbelievers about Him, I speak to them about that, their oneness. That He wants to be one with them. That He died because He loved them so much. Not because they were disgusting. Because they already feel disgusting. They know they're separate from God. In your heart of hearts, you know. We all knew. We don't have to rub their faces in it. All we have to do is reveal to them the truth of that love of the Father. The grace of Jesus Christ, like it says in that in 2 Corinthians 13:14. And the intimate friendship of Holy Spirit. Imagine telling them that you can have that. Not, you better confess your sins, you filthy thing, or you're going to hell. That is such a small part of the story. Okay, yes, it's extreme. Yes, that is true. If you don't come in union with God. But why would you want to come in union with God who's going to, their idea is that, oh, He's going to send me to hell. No. He wants to be one with you. Let's tell them the first part of the story. And it's the same with people that we minister to in terms of Holy Spirit. It's the same dynamic. Holy Spirit wants them to know Him personally. And what's come now in the body, there's this move. There's always been this move. It's been happening since probably the second century. To draw away from Holy Spirit, call Him separate from God, and say that you cannot be close to Him because otherwise you're dishonoring Jesus. That's the game. And when we minister to people, we want them to know that knowing Holy Spirit is a desire and a blessing from God Himself. He's the one who thought it up, not us. We didn't make up this. It's not a made up doctrine. It's the truth. He's saying intimate friendship with Holy Spirit. that you should have that. It's from God. It's as good as His grace, and it's as good as His love. Intimate friend. It's put on the same level. We want them to have that. So in Matthew 5:9, where it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." And then right under that, 5:10, "You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom." So here he's saying, be peacemakers. And whatever is a peacemaker, peace between God and man, and that's including our brethren. We want to share with them that intimate friendship with Holy Spirit is from God, not from the enemy, and not a strange doctrine. We want to bring them that peace. But what may happen? We may be persecuted. Because it's the next line, or the next verse, is that when we're committed to God, so we are going to stand fast with the truth that He has shared with us. We're not going to back down about it. We're not going to be Rottweilers and dog people. I'm not going to persecute somebody because they don't know it. I'm not the one who's chasing, you know, it says persecution is repetitive affliction. You know, persistent affliction. We're not going to afflict people. They can, you know, they're going to do that to us. Which is amazing, when we bring peace, the peace of God. Now that means unbelievers are going to persecute us too, because we're going to bring the peace of God that says you can be reconciled to God personally. You can be one with God. You know, that's very offensive to most religions. That's blasphemy in their minds. Okay. So you have that end of it, and then you have with your brethren, when you're talking to them about Holy Spirit, knowing Him personally, intimately, that becomes an affront to them, because they just know Him as the Spirit of Truth that illuminates Scripture, or may reveal Himself now and then when He feels like it, or may bring a healing. But they don't know Him as a person in their lives, which is why He was sent. So there will be persecution from that too. But I just really feel like Holy Spirit wants to say, you know, you be peace. You be peace. Don't worry about the consequences. You be peace. You speak the truth. Truth brings that peace. And when we're persecuted, we actually it's actually a confirmation. Rather than us running, turning tail, or thinking we've got it wrong, what we do is we go, thank you. Now, enemy, now that you're having people persecute me, I know I'm on the right track. Thanks for the confirmation, because what the enemy means for evil, God means for good. So what happens with us is we multiply in our closeness with God out of the persecution, just like when they were spread across the world after Stephen was stoned in the book of Acts, and it multiplied Christianity around the world. We get multiplied internally. And if we can see persecution like that, well, we won't feel fearful. We won't want to run away. We will also be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, in terms of who we commune with on a close basis, besides Holy Spirit, you know, in terms of people in the body. And we will be able to, you know, the most remarkable thing, when you're ministering to people through Holy Spirit, not through your own spirit, not through what, in terms of your own spirit, I mean your own, I really shouldn't say your own spirit because we're one spirit with Him, but you know, your own flesh or what you've experienced or what our teachings or whatever. But if you are literally ministering to people through Holy Spirit, they will know. That peace will touch them. And the troubling in their mind will be calm. Just like Jesus said, peace be still. We're meant to be that. In their storms, peace be still. We're meant to be the one being peace in the boat. So when we are actually being productive in God, not in that sense of running around, you know, having to pray for every person we see, not that kind of productive, but when we are producing the fruit of the Spirit, when we are willing to yield to Holy Spirit in all things, the enemy will turn up the heat because he's nervous. He's freaking out. We're touching other people. We're sharing the truth about you can have a relationship with Holy Spirit. We're sharing the truth about grace. We're sharing the truth about the Father's heart. Not happy camper, the enemy. So he turns up the heat. So when we're getting hit hard, it's usually a climate change. We get hit hard because we've actually are moving in on his territory. See, and he doesn't like, it's not even his territory. It's stolen territory. It's occupied territory by the enemy. And, you know, it's like the allied forces are coming in and saying, uh-uh, it's not yours no more. We're taking over. So he gets upset. So he squeezes, you know, turns up the heat, squeezes, however we want to, you know, whatever analogy we want to use. So on one level, it's great. Know you're in the right place. But then, of course, we need support and prayer. And that's what we're meant to do for each other. It is amazing how the enemy will attack you in your personal spiritual life, because it's not separate from your ministering. It's not separate from your going to the market. It's not separate from your sharing with a friend. It's all you in him. So he will attack you wherever he thinks he can, where you may be weak. And if, you know, if someone reacts passionately or is easily angered, he'll attack you in that area. If someone is timid, he'll attack you in that area, wherever he thinks he can. But this is the most important part that we've got to realize, is not just learning the strategies of the enemy. My life is not about that. My life is about God. My life is about Jesus. My life is about the Father and the Holy Spirit and loving people into freedom. But the one thing we do want to realize is that he's the one who's nervous. That's why he turns up the heat. But guess what? We're not under him. He was made a spectacle of. I don't have to put up with it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be persecuted. Jesus said we would. But we don't have to put up with even our own reactions. We go to Holy Spirit and go, Holy Spirit, I'm freaking out. I'm scared. I'm angry. I'm whatever. We give him our feelings. We let him take over. We ask him for the fruit of self-control, because he's the one who gives that fruit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of my mind. It's not a fruit of some teaching or doctrine. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I ask him, Holy Spirit, I need that fruit because I'm up against hard things. That's his job. He gives it to us. He'll develop it in us. We can't self-develop it, because otherwise it's just willpower. So while we're doing, you know, while we're in helping other people, ministering to other people, and, you know, we're in our own lives, and that ministering to other people is a part of our own lives. They're not separate. You don't separate it, because you learn so much from ministering to others. You get more than you give. That's how he does it. It's better to give than receive. That's what he does. So when we're ministering to people, we're getting so much for our own lives. And we're growing. They're helping us grow into all things in him. We should actually, you know, maybe pay them a bit. You know, it's like, okay, you're helping me grow up. I didn't even know this was possible. And I'm being facetious. No, not that we should really pay. I mean, if someone is ministering all the time and they need to have a livelihood, you know, he says that a worker is worthy of his wage. So I'm not saying that really. I'm just saying it's just such an amazing exchange when we're ministering to others, how much we gain. It's that's the kind of God we serve. It's not that we're drained and it's too hard and everything. Not when we're yielding to Holy Spirit. If we're not yielding to Holy Spirit, we're trying to do it on our own. Yes, it will be exhausting. And we won't understand. But in terms of persecution, for what we're standing on, Holy Spirit's a person. We're meant to be intimate with him. And we will know all things through him. He will lead us into all truth. And he will teach us concerning all things. We stand by that, regardless of what others say, so that we can pass that on to the body.